Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having an absolutely terrific day today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing great, for this is the day the Lord hath made. You know, it's so funny. This morning, Sharon and I were sharing scriptures with each other, and she brought some stuff to me from the book of John that I'm going to read you today, and then I brought some stuff also from the book of Hebrews to you today. And here's why I picked today to do this. A lot of people have contacted me, and they're like, man, we're so upset and we're so frustrated that Donald Trump basically has done what he's done, that he basically has not been who he said he was going to be and has not been loyal to us and has not been truthworthy. Well, let me explain something to you guys real quick. And I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Our hope is not in a man. This is the same thing that happens when people become a Christian and they have a pastor who they idolize. And they basically have him on the platform every weekend. And the guy basically is a whole different level than we think on the platform, as far as we don't think he sins and we don't think that he does anything wrong. And then we find out that he's not who we thought he was. And then what happens is we end up in a situation where we start losing our faith in God or in the church or in Christianity because this pastor falls. You know, we saw that happen when Jim Baker, when they found out he was a homosexual and he was doing what he did and he stole all that money with the 700 Club. We found that out with Paul Crouch when he had the thing with his, when the chauffeur accused him of being a homosexual. And supposedly there was a big payout as far as the big hush money that was going on with all that. We find all of these things out with these different pastors, and we think that they're somehow different because they're in the pulpit. Let me explain something to you. They're no different than Donald Trump is. We all are human beings. We all face the same temptations. And, you know, that's what was so unique about Jesus Christ. He came here, you know, through the Virgin Mary, as a man, as God, all in one, and he suffered and died for our sins, and he experienced everything that we experience. And so he was able to understand what we go through in this earthly body. So it's very, very important, remember, that our hope and our faith is not on Donald Trump, okay? The guy's a known adulterer, guys. I mean, think about this. He's a profuse liar. I mean, he makes a game of trying to sleep with friends' wives. I told you that story before. Maybe I didn't tell you that story. I'll tell you that story real quick. A good friend of his down in Palm Beach contacted a pastor friend of mine who's got a real beautiful wife, and they started a church down in Palm Beach, and warned my friend, the pastor, not to let his wife get around Donald Trump because he made a game of trying to sleep with other men's wives. Now, you think, well, gosh, that was pretty direct. You just slapped us up the side of the head with that one. Yeah, I know. That's who we're dealing with in the Oval Office, okay? This is not God. This is not Jesus Christ. This is a very, very sinful man raised in the bowels of New York City in a very sinful environment with a lot of mafia influence. So he's not who we think he is. Now, he talked a good game about, you know, make America great again. Great slogan, by the way. I still love this logo. But here's what he's done. Listen to me, friends. Here's what he's done. He galvanized a base. He galvanized a base of Trump supporters. He galvanized a whole group of people who got out there and supported the ideals that he was spouting, though he was not going to live up to those ideals. That's us. Now, we were around before Trump, Austin and I. We've been doing this show a lot longer than Trump was running for office. And we've been doing this for years anyhow, as far as telling people the truth and sending out emails. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter what Trump does. He stirred up enough people now through his rhetoric and through his large Coliseum appearances that there are a lot of people out there who want what he said he was going to give, that he had no intentions after he got in the office of giving what he said he was going to, after he figured out that they had too much dirt on him or threatened him too much. We've covered this already. Now, here's the deal. It doesn't make any difference. Greater is he who is in us than he who's in the world. So don't get down about this stuff. Don't get down about the fact that Donald Trump didn't do what he was supposed to do. I mean, what do we think he was going to do? I mean, he's a serial adulterer, liar, okay? So we've got to understand who he is. Now, should we continue to respect the presidency of the United States? Absolutely yes. That's a fact. Now, as far as the president himself, I told you guys yesterday, I left the station. I'm done. I'll report positive stuff he does. I'll report negative stuff he does. I'm just neutral now. I'm no longer biased whatsoever as far as him. And I also said to you yesterday, though, if the Wicked Witch of Benghazi runs for office again, which he probably will, they've spent too much time and money basically getting her ready for another run, then I will vote for Trump again if he runs. But if they run, if they vote, if anybody else runs as a Republican nominee, like Rand Paul, I would profusely rather have Rand Paul in. But I want to talk to you guys about covenant. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you about a few things. I've covered a lot of this stuff with you, and it's time for a little bit of Spirit word here today. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you don't do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let us go out into the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. And then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother?" Now God already knew where his brother was. He was just seeing what Cain was going to say. "I don't know," he replied, "as my brother's keeper." And the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Now, if you look up that word, cries out, it means tasag, T-A-T-S-A-A-G, and S-A-A-G. It means to cry out, the sound of thunder, or like a thunderbolt. Like when you hear a giant boom in the sky, a giant crack of thunder, basically what happens is that's what it sounded like to God, because it is the scalar waves from the blood that we've talked about so many times. God heard all of that. And then we go on to talk about the flood in Genesis chapter 6 after all of this happened. And it goes, "The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward." This is Genesis 6, verse 4. "When the sons of God went into the daughters of men, and they had children by them, and they were the hearers of old and men of renown, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all of the time." Verse 5. We've given you that so many times. I wanted you to go basically to understand where those verses came from and basically how they were used. Now, if you keep on going with this, it goes into the book of Hebrews. Now, the book of Hebrews is something I want to cover today. I want to read something out of the thing of John. Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1. "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir." Now, please listen to what I fix to say. This is very important. That's a paraphrase. "He goes, to whom he appointed son of all things, and through whom he made the universe." Omnipresence. Forever. Remember that. Omnipresence. "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." Now, think about what that just said. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So basically, the Son is in the exact image of God. That's what the word says. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being born exactly as God, as a man, through the Virgin Mary. I find that just fascinating when you think about that. And it says that you have made him a little lower than the angels who came to this earth, and you crowned him with the glory and put everything under his feet. And putting everything under him, God left nothing that was subject to him. And it goes on to say in Hebrews 2, verse 14, "Since the children have flesh and blood, and he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who by their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." Guys, when we have faith in Christ, death has no victory over us. And then he says in chapter 4 in Hebrews, verse 3, he goes, "And yet his word has been finished, W-R-K, has been finished since the creation of the world." Now think about that for a second. In other words, God's omnipresent. He knew what was going to happen. He basically had to put a break in the omnipresent timeline for us to respond and be saved. Now, that's a lot of, I just said a lot right there. He basically had to put a break in the omnipresent timeline for us to respond and be saved. "Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today," that's the break in the timeline, "when a long time later he spoke through David as he said before, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.'" And he goes on to say in verse 12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and the marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And we must give account includes Donald Trump. It includes the Rothschilds. These boys and these weird wackos are laughing and laughing and laughing about what's going on right now on the planet. But they must give account. See, we're not of this world. We're passing through. They're of this world, and they're of Lucifer, and they're going to all end up basically going to hell with him is what's going to happen. It says it now it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, it says, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and were designated by God in the order to be a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Then in chapter, we got that. I'm going through the word here. You hear the Bible reference. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 20, it says, the Lord has sworn and he will not change his mind. You are priests forever because of this oath. Jesus has overcome, has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now listen to what it says. But because Jesus lives forever, that's because he's omnipresent forever, he has a permanent priesthood. That means he's able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for him. His sacrifice is complete. We don't need a third temple. Such a high priest who meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, and set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other priests, he does not need to offer sacrifice. Now listen to that for a second. Why are we rebuilding a temple day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of his people? He sacrificed their sins once and for all when he suffered himself. Now, it says, verses 8, chapter 1, the point of what we're saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty of heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, not a man-made tabernacle, I've added that, set up by the Lord, not by man. So we don't have to rebuild a tabernacle. It goes on in verse chapter 9, verse 7. It says, but only the high priest entered the inner room, that's to say, Holy of Holies, and that was only once a year and never without blood, which he offered for himself. Now here comes back the blood thing. And for the sins people committed in an ignorance. Then in verse 11, when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not that the man-made tabernacle, say, that is part of this creation. He entered by means of the blood of the... Now, he did not enter by the means of goats of blood and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Okay? How much more, then, with the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself, unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death. It goes on to say, in the same way he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and everything used in the ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness of sins. That's 9:22. And then in 9:25 it says, nor did he have to enter again, did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood that is not his own. Because by now it appeared once and for all the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Guys, what we're saying here is this. We don't have to rebuild a temple in Jerusalem. And I get these doggone Zionists, and all they want to talk about is the rebuilding of the temple, the rebuilding of the temple, so that they can bring their man of perdition. I gave you that verse the other day, bring him in there, pierce himself, and declare himself Antichrist, God of this world, and unite the world under Lucifer. I mean, why do we want to pay for that and give money for a temple fund? It doesn't make any sense. Jesus says we don't have to do that anymore. In verse 10, chapter 10, verse 10, it says, and by that we will be made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ and for the blood. And then 10:19, therefore, brothers, as we have the confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Why? Why can we enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus? I covered that with you yesterday. Blood covenant. What is his is ours. What is ours is his. By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. We have to understand who it is. Now, verse 11, chapter 11, verses 1, verse 2, it says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life and that he did not experience death, he could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. It doesn't matter what Donald Trump does. We're walking by faith and not by sight in a man who is secular and is so sinful as Donald Trump. We've got to understand that. So we have to understand who and what we are. It says we have come to Mount Zion. Listen to this. To the heavenly Jerusalem. This is not on this earth. The city of the living God. You have come to thousands and upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. This is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteousness men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So we can say that God's word, that God's blood through Christ speaks better than what Abel's blood freaked, and his was like lightning, like thunder, with the scalar waves that boomed all the way through eternity. And Jesus is better than that. And I love this. And finally, in chapter 13 of Hebrews, and you guys need to read the book of Hebrews on a regular basis, and the book of John. And chapter verse 20 says, guys, and I pray this over right now. I pray this over you. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Christ Jesus, to whom we have the glory forever and ever. Amen. Guys, it's so important that we understand who and what we are in Christ and what Jesus Christ did for us through the cross. Everything completely and totally changed through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything. And through the blood. Everything. Now, I want to pray. I want to read this to you real quick. This is John 17, verse 1. And after he had said this, he looked towards heaven and he prayed, Father, the time is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you have granted him authority over all people, that he may give eternal life to all those who you have given him. Now this eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Again, he's omnipresent. Always remember that. That's so very important. Now, Jesus prays for his disciples. I have revealed to you, to those whom you gave me out of the world, that they were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now, listen to what he says. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. This is Jesus speaking. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world. Listen to what he said. He's praying for his disciples. He's praying for the saved. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours. All you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I remain in the world no longer, but they are still in this world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, and that they may be one as we are one in covenant. Remember that, guys. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the one you gave me. Verse 13, I am now coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so they may have the full measure of my joy within them. And I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. Now listen to me, guys. This is so important. I gave them your word, but the world has hated them. Guys, when you speak the word of God and you tell the truth, the world gets really, really mad. You start talking about Jesus Christ, about eternity, about God, about redemption for sin, the world gets angry. I'm reading it again. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world. We are not God's believers, any more than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you may take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world. Even I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, they too may be truly sanctified. Now he's praying for all believers. My prayer is not for them to be left alone. I also pray to those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one in them, as you are in me. May they be brought to complete unity. Now listen to guys, this is what's so important. This is why you don't hear me bad mouthing and saying things about other believers and other groups of people, you know, on the show. I said, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and you've loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want you to have given me, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you have loved me before the creation of the world. There he says again, he's on the present. Righteous Father. That means, remember, he loved me. He's saying right there, he's beginning and the end. He's in a timeline. It's like saying, I was on the cross. I'm not on the cross. I'm at the beginning of the world. I'm on the right hand of God the Father. It's what I told you guys before. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that they love you. Have for me, may they be in them, and that they, I myself, may be in them. Guys, it's so important that we understand who and what we are in Christ. We have to understand the blood of the eternal covenant that sanctified us, and we have to understand that it doesn't make one bit of difference. Listen to me, friends. What Donald Trump does, or what your preacher does, or what your friend who claims to be a Christian does. We're told that we're supposed to walk in love and be as one, to unify ourselves. Guys, you're my family. So many of you. I've got so many of you. I've got Mark, I've got Matthew, I've got Karen, I've got dozens and dozens and dozens of people who send me emails every day, new stories. I thank them for it. They help me with the show. And I just tell you what, it makes such a huge difference to me to know that I'm one with you guys. See, when I do the show with you guys, it's like I have my own church. You guys are my church. And I'm kind of like, you know, I guess I'd be the assistant pastor, with Christ being the head pastor and God being the head pastor above that. But I'm down here with you guys saying, look, we got to stick together. And that's why I say to you guys, I prayed for you today. I prayed for you guys this morning. And some people get really, really mad at me, okay, because I don't do exactly what they tell me to do. I mean, I've got people, I'm not listening to you anymore. You said something about so-and-so or such-and-such. And here's the thing. If I make a mistake, and you guys have heard me do this, if I say something because I get a bad news story and it's wrong, I'll come back and I'll do a retraction. I'll say, yeah, I screwed up on that. I apologize. Please forgive me. Try to do better. You know, I used the word years ago. I used the word talking about a nerve plexus in the body. Didn't know it had all kinds of bad new age connotations. I came back and apologized. I came back and apologized on Dave Hodges' show, Hagman's show, our show, because I used the word that was a new agey concept, even though I didn't use it as a new age word. I used it as a nerve plexus, which is a biological term. I thought, well, I could have done better than that. I should have been more careful with what I said. And now, who came after me for that? The vast majority of my listeners didn't care because they knew how I had used it. It was the really hyper-religious people that dot every I, cross every T, and they're pious and they're sanctimonious. In other words, they think they're better than everybody else. These are the ones that Jesus talked about. They go to the prayer wall and they wail and they scream. And instead of giving a 5-minute prayer, and you give them a microphone, they're going to give you a 20-minute prayer. Everybody goes to sleep while they're praying. Like, what is wrong with this person? The food's getting cold. Why are they still praying? It's those guys. Okay? And so it's one of those things that we have to understand, that we can't be perfect all of the time. And when we say something or shouldn't say something, we make a mistake. It's okay, because we're in the unity of the believer. We're under the blood of the Lamb. We're under Jesus Christ, under his lordship. And that's why, you know, when I say to you guys, thank you for supporting the show. We had another person, I want to thank him again today, who donated, you know, a few weeks ago we had someone give us a $600 donation for the show. Today we had somebody else give us another $200 donation. My heart goes out to you. Thank you. And I know a lot of you say, well, I can't afford it. I'm not asking you for that. But thank you. When you do that, it lets me know that we're all in this thing together. We're all part of the same family. A lot of you just get your multiple vitamins from us because of that. And this isn't a fundraising thing for me today. I'm not doing that. Here's what I'm saying is this. If one of you had a show and you sold cars or whatever, and you did your own talk show, and you sold Chevrolets or whatever, or GMC, I would make sure I bought my next GMC or car from you. if you told me and I knew that. You say, well, would you really do that? Yeah, I really would. I really would. Because I would want to support what you're doing. And when you guys do that for us, a simple thing like buying multiple vitamins, it means the world to me. And then when you go, then when you say, I'm going to give you an extra $100 or $200 or $600 or $5 or whatever you do as a gift, I'm like, thank you. That means a lot to me, because what it does, it shows me the unity of the believer, and it shows me that you guys are supporting us in spirit and in deed and in word and in prayer. If that's all you can do, I'm okay with that too. But guys, I had a very dear listener. I'm not going to mention any names. Her husband died last week, 51 years old, just dropped dead of a heart attack. I felt so bad for her. Great lady. Love her family. Talked to her extensively on the telephone. We sent her a bunch of supplements, stress supplements, just because she needed something. And I mean, I'm talking like a gift. We just sent them to her. Because, guys, here's the thing. Aren't we supposed to do that one for another? Aren't we supposed to help each other? Aren't we supposed to lift each other up? I mean, doesn't the word say to do that? I mean, if I can do something to help her get through this very tearful time, this stressful time, by giving her a few supplements, what a difference I can make in her life. You know, and pray for her, like we did the other day on the show for her husband before we knew he had died. Guys, it's so important that that's how we all have to act. I mean, you know, and I'm not perfect. Gosh, everybody knows that. I mean, I have no halo to adjust. You know, I have to really hold back sometimes using some bad words when I start talking about these guys that like to kill little children. I get really angry about that. I want to say some things I shouldn't ought to say. Every once in a while I slip and say a bad word and ask you, I usually apologize until I do it. But it's just, is that right or wrong? I don't know. Gosh, I don't know. All I know is that it's real. And I always have people tell me, Austin, when they come by the house, and you tell me this, the listeners who come by, wow, you act just like you do on the radio, and nothing's really different. That's because I'm not a phony. A lot of these guys, I'm going to tell you this, they're an act. It's an act. I don't do skits. I don't do weird stuff here. I don't act. This is just my life. This is who I am. And guys, I want you to know something. I love you from the bottom of my heart. And you know, people get mad at me and they say, well, you shouldn't say that, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's the thing, guys. I'm going to tell you something. We get death threats. Austin gets death threats. I get death threats. Okay. We are out there. And let me ask you a question. If I tell you the truth about something and someone threatens to kill me over that, does it really matter to me if that person doesn't like me? No. No. I mean, here's the thing. We all have to be together in unity of the believer. If you can show me where I'm wrong in scripture or in news stories, I told you guys, I'll correct it. That's why I say over and over again, when I start talking about crazy stuff, you know, like all this immigration mess into Germany and all this stuff, or the Manzini, the letters from Manzini, you know, from Albert Pike and all the other stuff that was written. I mean, when we talk about all of this stuff, it's just history. And that's why I study history constantly. And see, it's so important that we understand where they're trying to take us. Hey, I got a train here. You got to hop on real quick. But it doesn't look very comfortable. Yeah, but we're going to take you to a new place to live for a bit. Don't really want to get on the train. Well, yeah, you got to get on the train. No, I don't think I'm going to get on that train. How do I know that's not a train to hell? What's that old song, Highway to Hell? How do I know this is not a train line to hell? I don't want to get on the train line to hell. I'd rather kind of stay here. Yeah. Okay, well, whatever. See, that's the thing, guys. These guys want you to get on that train line to hell. I'm telling you, Samuel Untermeyer, I'm telling you, that Otto Kahn, I'm telling you that these international globalist Zionist bankers and basically Satanists from the early 1900s and from the born in the 1800s, these guys were the principal people that started the Scofield Bible. They're the ones that started all this mess, and it was to put a hook into you guys and my dear friends and the Christians now, so that you can no longer see or believe or know the truth about what they've done to you. Guys, it's so important that you understand that I'm doing everything I possibly can to be the watchman on the wall and tell you what's happening. I pray for all of the people in Israel right now that are born-again believing Christians who love Jesus Christ with all of their hearts and all of their minds and all of their souls. I pray for those people all over the world. But I will not pray and I will not support heathen, hedonistic governments that promote child pornography, bestiality, sexual perversion. I won't pray for those guys, nor will I pray they be blessed, nor will I tolerate that stuff. but I will pray for every God-fearing, Christian-believing person on this planet, and I will pray for them to be blessed. But I will never capitulate to the New World Order and to the things that glorify Satan. I won't do it. And if that means someday somebody's going to take me out or whatever, I got to leave anyhow. I'm 63 years old. This morning, Austin and I were moving a washer and dryer, and I had to position it just right and put it on a cooler to pick it up. And I looked at Austin, and I said, you know, son, I said, I'm so frustrated about this. I said, I'm strong enough to pick this washer up and put it on the truck by myself. The problem is I can't twist my back certain ways now because I'm 63 years old, because I know the consequences of that, because I'm living in a mortal body. But the reality is this, though. Guys, I understand that my best time physically on this planet has come and gone. I got that. I'm not 18, 19, 20 years old. My human growth hormone, regardless of how much HGH stimulant I take, is not going to be as high as it was when I was 18 years old. I got that, okay? But here's the thing. I also know this. I know who has my future. And death has no victory in me, has no sting in me. Because I know that regardless of what happens to me, Austin, listen to my friends, everybody listen to me. I'm going off this planet with my boots on. I am not going to go out sniveling in the corner begging for mercy. I'm going out with boots. And by God, if it means they're lining me up against the wall and they're shooting me because of what my beliefs are, they can line me up to the wall and they can shoot me, but I'm going out with my boots on. And I'm not going to capitulate to this satanic New World Order. I refuse to do it, and I will not comply. Austin, that's my opening statement in Scripture today. What do you think?
Amen. Preach it. I like it. No doubt about it. That's exactly what everybody has to start realizing right now. And we have to continue to do the best we can, to push the best we can, and spread the truth, spread the word, and wake up everybody of what's really going on. And that's exactly. Also, too, in other news right now, I saw this earlier. This is quite odd. Just to give everybody an understanding of how weird the weather is right now and a lot of things that I think are personally being manipulated, a 4.4 magnitude earthquake hit Tennessee this morning, which that's not a huge earthquake on a Richter scale, especially if you compare it to like California. However, that's very big for Tennessee. That is the strongest earthquake since 1973, and before that, it was like 40 years before that, there was an earthquake that strong as well. It early morning this morning centered about 7 miles northeast of Decatur and right across the river from the Watts Barn nuclear plant, which is kind of creepy on top of that. It was followed about 12 minutes later by another magnitude 3.3 aftershock, and according to the Geological Survey, light shaking was observed over most of the Atlanta metro area and a number of states from southern Alabama to South Carolina and North Carolina and Kentucky felt it. There were, however, no immediate reports of damage or injury, which is a blessing. But again, that shows you the level of movement and the different things that are going on, whether or not there's tunnels being dug, whether or not there's seismic charges being dropped underground, whether or not these are legitimate earthquakes. I have no idea, but that is very strange considering the fact that it has been since 1973 that an earthquake anywhere near that level hit Tennessee. So I thought I would just bring that up to everybody's attention, because if you guys saw earlier Monday morning, two separate reports, one of those being in the end of November from the U.S. military, they issued a report titled Electromagnetic Defense Task Force, which basically sought to warn the nation about an EMP on the country. So that was strange. That was a couple weeks ago. Well, now Monday, a report was issued, December 10th, to see that you can see it on the DHS website. They published a 94-page report by the President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council titled Surviving a Catastrophic Power Outage. And they basically go into detail, and I read part of this stuff in here, basically urging American population to be prepared for up to 6 months without electricity, transportation, sewage, fuel, digital money, or health care, which was a pretty strong statement for them to make. And then they go through all these different summaries. The beginning of it, they say, the profound risk requires a new national focus. Significant public and private action is needed to prepare for and recover from a catastrophic outage that could leave the nation, parts of the nation, without power for weeks or months. And now, there's no reason for this to be scary, because this is something we've talked about for decades. This has always been something that has been a possible scenario. But what it does for me is it basically reminds me of what a very, very fragile electric grid we live on right now and how important it is to maintain proper precautions and proper measures in the event that something were to happen like this in a split second. I know there was a book that was written years ago called One Second After, and it's a pretty graphic novel, and it really goes into an EMP strike that hits the United States, and it goes about a town, I think it was based up of North Georgia, of what happens when this occurs and how quickly things go sideways, especially for the people that aren't prepared. So that's just my take on this. Always trust God, but always be prepared for anything. Never underestimate things that can occur, and always be ready for anything that happens. Down here in Florida, we have hurricanes all the time, so we always are on the precipice of pretty much power getting shut down and everything going and stopping. And most people down here are fairly well prepared. But again, a lot of the population is not. So you have to be cautious and be aware and be prepared for anything that can happen, Dad.
You know, Austin, we've talked about this for years and years and years, and that's why, you know, we basically have taken precautions against this, because all of us at this point, you need to have at least, gosh, I don't know how to say this anymore, you need to have a couple months of food stored up. I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, you really do. And you need to have bottled water stored up. You need to have some filters stored up. If you have to drink lake water or pond water or spring water or whatever, you can. But you gotta have something so you can basically stay alive. I don't know how to say that any more direct than this. I mean, especially now that we're having them warn us openly about what could happen. Personally, this whole earthquake in Tennessee, I believe that's probably an underground nuclear charge that's gone off on one of the deep underground military bases. Every so often we gotta clear those out of who knows what for whatever reason. Now you gotta fill in the blanks on that. I mean, when I look at what's going on with this interdimensional, extraterrestrial, fallen angel running the planet. I mean, how do we know these? Now, here's another thing. I'm going to say something. This is going to be a speculation part of my part. Okay. You got a bunch of people that are running the planet with derivatives and betting on this and betting on this and betting on this and betting on that. You got this unbelievable illegal sports thing going on in Vegas with all the different teams and all of those stuff that is all rigged. We know that. We know that because there's billions of dollars exchanging hands. But how do we know that off-world entities aren't taking bets on what they're doing and how they're doing things on this planet? That's what Catherine Austin Fitz said one time. I mean, she said something very similar to that. So that, you know, it's like they're running things down here. And I'll never forget that South Park episode, Austin, when those guys were up, like, look at these overlords of the planet. We're looking at planet Earth, and they were basically burning $100 bills with cigars. And they were saying how the Earth wasn't being productive enough, so we're going to go ahead and get rid of it and start over again. I mean, there's something, guys, there's a war going on in this heavens, and it's been going on for a long, long, long time. And when Jesus talks about the devil and how he's protecting us from the devil, I read the scripture to you today. He's telling us there's some stuff that's going on around here. There's some pretty deep stuff. And quite frankly, you know, I'm going to protect you through my word. That's why when we're in covenant with God, through the Holy Spirit. Remember, God said what Jesus said was, what is God is his and his is God's. That's covenant. And now, because of that covenant with God through Christ, we have that same relationship with God Almighty, and we can step into the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, and not have to give a sacrifice of bull and goats and bulls, because we have the blood of Christ to stand before us. In other words, we can take our petitions directly to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Gosh, guys, that's pretty impressive that we have the ability to do that. So there's something else going on this planet. They're terraforming our planet, guys. And it says, as it was in the days of Noah, it will be the same upon his return. And I read you this morning, every thought of every man's evil all the time. The only way they can do that is a 5G network and hook us up to this Internet of Things and control our energy fields. By the way, Michael Cohen got sentenced today, and got 3 years. And he goes, I took a path of darkness instead of light. Our president's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, tearfully lays the blame for his fraud and lies on blind loyalty to cover up the dirty deeds of Trump as he is jailed for 3 years. Now, that's a pretty strong thing to say as you're being hauled off. Cohen wept in federal court in Manhattan as he faced sentencing on 9 criminal charges. He must report to jail in upstate New York by March the 6th. A tearful Cohen pushed back at Donald Trump for calling him weak. His lawyer repeatedly invoked Trump while arguing against the long sentence. He went to court Wednesday morning accompanied by his wife and children. The Southern District of New York in court finally said he deserved a substantial sentence and proposed he face up to 5 years in jail Special Counsel Mueller's team noted his cooperation with the Russian probe. He pleaded guilty to making false statements to Congress about his 2016 pursuit of Trump Tower deal in Moscow in contacts with the Russian about it. Also pleaded guilty to campaign finance and bank fraud related to the $130,000 played for tooth by the unbelievable, I almost said something bad, Stormy Daniels, testified he was directed by Donald Trump to make payments to Daniels. Cohen once said he would take a bullet for Trump, but ended him cooperating and facing jail time and massive legal fees. Story Daniels' lawyer, Michael Aventi, showed up for the sentencing and said Cohen deserves every day of his sentence. Now, guys, don't get me wrong. I am not a Michael Cohen fan here at all. The guy's a complete slime bucket, all right? But, guys, he's saying right here, he's telling a lot of truth, that Trump is about as dirty as they get. You don't get through the real estate dealings in New York City dealing with the doggone mafia and all of the weird stuff that goes on up there and stay clean. It just doesn't happen. It never happens, never going to happen, never will. By the way, Kavanaugh betrayal, talked about this some yesterday, told you guys I saw this coming, and this is a good article. And it's by Joseph Fair. He flays a man. Here's what he says. He goes, called the Kavanaugh betrayal. He goes, I hate to say this one, but I saw it coming. Same thing I said yesterday. When President Trump selected Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court, I knew it was at least a very risky pick. I didn't say that. I said it was awful. He goes on to say, but he won, listen to this, Kavanaugh won the hearts of conservatives. Why? Because of the insanity of the opposition. When that Jewish lady from California started suing him, and said, not suing him, but saying he did all these things. Now we know for certain that Brett Kavanaugh is a fraud. He should never have been President Trump's first choice. I agree with that. I said that to start with. He is a weakling and buckled to the extreme left to salvage his own reputation. I had a bad feeling about this guy ever since his role in the Vince Foster, here we go, cover-up, and his tutelage by former independent counsel Kenneth Starr, not even to mention the Bushes, by the way. How many times do we have to see this kind of betrayal by Republican nominees to the Supreme Court, Senator O'Connor, Anthony Kennedy, David Souter, John Roberts? Let's review the facts. In 1981, it was a young Justice Department lawyer, Kenneth Starr, who authored a hurriedly prepared, error-filled memo, according to Robert Novak, that convinced President Reagan to go through with the nomination of Sandra Day O'Connor to the High Court, despite tremendous opposition from those who believed she was unfit and unworthy. The memo gave O'Connor a clean bill of health on abortion by using legal gymnastics to explain her Arizona legislative record, wrote Evans and Novak. He wrote that she had no recollection of how she voted on a 1970 bill to legalize abortion, when in fact she was the co-sponsor of the measure that was defeated 6-3 in committee. This is the kind of stuff, you can read the article yourself on this, but this is the kind of stuff that we have. Kavanaugh just voted with a high court leftist to stop Republican efforts to defund Planned Parenthood at the same level. Donald Trump is completely and totally compromised. He put Kavanaugh in. He put Gottlieb into the FDA. Now he's got this doggone guy as the Attorney General Barr, and it goes on and on and on. The deep state is alive and well. And until we put a candidate in the White House who isn't corrupt morally and spiritually, this isn't going to get any better. We need another John F. Kennedy. I thank God Almighty often that I was young enough, and I'm old enough into everything else, that I remember when we had a president that actually had some testosterone, let me say it that way, and was able to stand in the gap for the American people, though I must admit, riding around in an open limousine was not the brightest bulb in the box. Quite frankly, he thought they weren't going to do what they did to him, and they did what they said they were going to do, and they did it. Guys, it's so important that we try to get somebody else through the system. And listen to me, guys, if someone else starts to run and they start saying all kinds of lies about them and they can't back it up or can't prove it or it's all planted information, we've got to ignore all that stuff if the person's godly, if the person's a person of integrity and of character, because quite frankly, they don't want another John F. Kennedy in there. They don't want somebody who wants a PT, that has a PT-109 experience in which they're basically giving an epiphany on a Japanese island in the middle of a war, wondering if they're going to live or die, and have a come-to-Jesus meeting. We need one of those people back in the White House. Donald Trump ain't it, Austin. What do you think, bud?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of things that are being compromised. I know one of the aspects is I read even another article today discussing his Diet Coke habit, which apparently has gotten even worse since he's been in office. They're saying now that basically individuals in the White House have reported he's drinking anywhere from 8 to 10 Diet Cokes every single day. That's basically all he drinks pretty much now. He hardly even drinks water, basically drinks this stuff all the time. And as you guys already know, aspartame is unbelievably toxic to the brain, and it's very addictive as well. Dad's gone into detail. He's talked about this for decades. And so I don't think this is helping. Obviously, you know, when people get stressed, when people get, you know, their adrenals tapped, in some cases they tend to push themselves further with more caffeine, with more stimulants. And it seems to be the case with the Donald now, that he's basically gone to the Diet Cokes as his go-to vice, because, you know, he doesn't drink alcohol, supposedly, which I've never seen any photos of him drinking, or use any type of narcotics or drugs or prescriptions that I know of. So he's pretty much self-medicating with Diet Cola, and that's not healthy at all, especially at the level of aspartic acid that's going to be building up in his system. Because even that, we had a pastor friend of ours that got blood tested for that, didn't he? He was drinking the, Diet Red Bulls?
Well, what happened, he's drinking the Diet Red Bull because, and let me share with this with you guys real quick. Every single day when I do a show with you, so with Austin, we're basically doing a sermon together. It's like a tag team sermon. And you think, really? Yeah, it really is like that. And, you know, we're talking to millions of people a month. And what happens is you get into a situation where you got to be up. And you got to do a good job because you got so many people listening every day. Because you guys are like my church, right? And like the people in our congregation. And so sometimes when the pastor doesn't feel like getting up, you know, they want to go do something like take a Diet Coke. Some of them get hooked on cocaine. We had that happen to a pastor here in Orlando, and he basically overdosed. And then Paula White, speaking of her, I'm not going to say much more than that, took over his church. Now that church has kind of gone sideways now. I don't think she's really there anymore after she's kind of gone to Washington to stay up there with the Donald. But this is what's going on with, you know, with him. And I forgot his names. I think it was, I'm not going to give you a bad name. I'll look it up and I'll find out. But he died of a cocaine overdose. And what happens is a lot of pastors get hooked on this stuff because they got to get up for the sermon. You know, when you get in front of a group, and I've done the sermon. I've done the groups of 30, 40,000 people in live attendance. Now, quite frankly, when you have a live group that big, when you're talking to a stadium. Now, Austin was with me in those. I used to bring him up on the platform with me, he's a little kid, and he'd see how many people I was talking to. But when you have 40,000 people looking at you, it's pretty easy to get stoked up. I'll be honest with you. It's pretty easy to get up. And here's why. You got all that adrenaline of the crowd going, and you have the energy feel from the crowd going. So yep. You don't really have to drink, you know, 5 cups of coffee. You don't really even drink anything. To be honest with you, you feel so good all the time when you're up there. But the reality is, if you're doing that all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time, it has a tendency to drain your adrenals down. You get exhausted from doing those seminars. And so guys, get used to drinking stuff. This is where the Donald is. The Donald is at a point now, he's a diet soda aholic. Now here, I'm going to say something. How do we know they're not doing something and putting something in his diet sodas? We don't know that. I mean, he's so paranoid, he eats out of it like he got to order a McDonald's food in because he's afraid they're going to poison his food. I mean, quite frankly, I can't even blame him for that. So the problem is we have an aspartic acid receptor in our brain. You know, 40% of diet sodas are aspartic acid. And it makes you basically get real addictive because it gets your constant dopamine trigger. Plus, it contains phenylalanine, which is high concentration, causes permanent nerve and brain damage. And it contains paint thinner, which is also known as methanol, which cannot be made non-poisonous. That's what the Donald's drinking without drinking water every day. So he's poisoning his brain. So I would not be surprised if he comes down with brain cancer like Donald, like McCain did. And I'm not speaking that over him, I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised. But the reality is this, it causes terrible memory lapses. And it's a brain entrainment molecule is what it is because of the dopamine trigger. It was proved by Donald Rumsfeld. So could that be affecting Donald Trump's judgment? Absolutely yes. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. In fact, several of the people who've worked there have come out and said that that's really affected his judgment because it causes severe memory lapses and severe depression. So yes, I have pastor friends that have drunk the Diet Red Bulls, and because of the phenylalanine in there, they've actually started slurring their words. And I've told him, I caught him. I have the one buddy, my one pastor buddy of mine. I told him, I said, dude, why are you slurring your words? I don't know, man. I slur my words. I said, yeah, when you're on the platform, whatever you're drinking or whatever you're taking to get geeked up, you're slurring your words. You gotta, whatever. And sure enough, he went and got a blood test done. He had elevated phenylalanine, and he recorded the conversation with the medical doctor. told the medical doctor he was doing so, sent me the recording, which lasted like 10 minutes. The doctor told him, you have elevated phenylalanine levels. You need to get those down. Never told him anything about aspartame because he probably didn't know anything about it. So, yes, I can't tell you how bad they are. The words aren't here. I can't express to you how horrible diet sodas are. I've got another person that I know who's a pastor in Lakeland who's a diet sodaholic. In fact, he's awful. It has completely and totally messed up his personality. He's a weirdo. And it's just, and, you know, and he's destroyed relationships. And he's so bad that if he doesn't like you and you have a friend with somebody that he knows, he tells his friend that he knows that if he associates with you, he's going to disassociate with them. He's like a control freak. And it causes all of this brain shortage. It also eats holes in your brain with the aspartic acid. So you get the Swiss cheese brain from this mess. You end up with brain cancer from this mess. And yes, Austin, it could definitely affect your life and everything you do about your life, quite frankly, to the worst. And by the way, I called this out last year. I told you this was going to happen. And sure enough, it has happened. Miss Universe's first transgender contestant reveals in being a role model. Okay, this is interesting. In Bangkok, December the 12th, like many other contestants of the Miss Universe beauty pageant, Angela Ponce grew up watching the glitzy spectacle on TV, dreaming of representing her country one day. This year, his wish has come true, with Ponce making history as the first openly weirdo contestant in the pageant's 66-year history. I told you last year this was going to happen. I got all, you guys sent me a bunch of letters. It ain't ever gonna happen. They'll never do that. I told you it was gonna happen. Here we have it. The first transgender. I guess I'm not gonna make any comments like that. It's gonna be too crude. Well, I'll say it. I don't know what she's gonna do with the swimsuit competition unless she's had corrective surgery. I don't know how they're gonna do that. Unless they have gotten rid of the swimsuit competition. They may have done that just for the transgenders. Guys, I love you. Scripture Phil's show today. I appreciate you. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for being my friend. Thanks for praying for me and Austin and the family. And guys, I pray for you daily. I ask that God continues to bless you, that he keeps you, that he allows his face to shine upon you, that he's merciful unto you, that he grants you peace, grace, mercy, health, and love in your life. I pray that everything you touch is blessed. I pray that you're always at the right place and the right time every time. I pray that you're the head. I pray that you're the lender. I pray that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I pray that you're directed and guided by his Holy Spirit to peace in every part of your life. I pray that your family is blessed, that your children are blessed, that your spouse is blessed. And I pray that you can continue to go through these holiday seasons being edified and uplifted to the presence of the Holy Spirit. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I'll do the write-up off, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely. And also, too, in other news, I thought this was interesting as well today. Two groups of Central American migrants down in Tijuana now have gone to the U.S. consulate in Tijuana and listed demands stating to the Trump administration that they want the U.S. to pay them $50,000 each, or they want to be let into the United States. About 100 migrants arrived at the consulate around 11 a.m. yesterday. An organizer from Honduras said the $50,000 figure was chosen as a group. And it is kind of a joke because obviously we're not going to pay them that as a country. But the reason why I brought this up is because this right here shows you the level of entitlement to the people that are trying to come into this country illegally. I just want to bring that up because I've gotten in a lot of arguments over the last couple months over this whole migrant topic where a lot of people are like, oh no, this can't be done and you need to do this and we need to do this and we can't do this. And my aspect is this. Why do they want to come here? What is the point for them coming to this country? Do they want to come here and try to live peacefully and assimilate and get a job or already have jobs lined up and try to contribute more to this country? No. They're demanding they either be let in or we give them ransom money of $50,000 per person. That doesn't sound like the mindset of somebody that I want to let into my country, because clearly if they get let into the country, that same ideology is not going to go away, and they're going to demand money as well to stay here, to live, to eat, so forth. Basically the same thing that we have seen over in Europe right now. Just like we saw yesterday, the French police are still looking for the shooter of the Christmas market shooting in the French city of Strasbourg yesterday. 350 in military personnel are basically still going out and trying tried to scout the area, and apparently we found out now the shooter, the individual, was Muslim and yelled their little Akla Labu, and I don't pronounce it correctly just because I'm not going to speak their language correctly because I don't respect what they do. But the suspect, basically 29-year-old, is a local radical Islamist, and he's been arrested numerous times, actually was arrested in Germany, and then afterwards arrested for violent robbery in Germany, and then after sentencing was deported back to France. He's been convicted 27 times between France, Germany, and Switzerland, and this guy basically was being picked up on a SWAT raid for an armed robbery the same day that morning when they raided his house. He's no longer to be found. 8 o'clock that night, he opened fire on the Christmas market. So there you have it. There's the political correctness run amok in France and in Germany with what we have seen with allowing these people to come in. So thank you for everything, guys. We appreciate it. I got a couple news articles for health stuff that I was going to get into today, but we ran out of time. I'm going to go into those tomorrow. Be sure if you need anything, check out the website at healthmasters.com, and be sure to check your emails right now because we're doing the 12 days of Christmas, as we had a lot of requests from that from our customers. So every single day we're putting one product on sale for 24 hours, and we're doing that via our email campaign. So be sure to sign up for our weekly newsletter and get that. Today I think it's the Super Potent E, which is on sale till tomorrow morning, and it's on sale for 10% off, and the coupon is 12 days, 12DAYS, and again, that will only be active till tomorrow morning, and then the new product will come out. So I just want to give you guys a heads up, let you guys capitalize on that. If there's a specific product that comes out and you see in the email, you understand what's going on with it. And of course, the chelation therapy, one product of the week. Yeah, today you guys voted, you got the numbers up, that's the one you wanted to win, so I'm glad to see that, and so that's on sale as well on the front page of the website. So be sure if you need anything, check us out, lots of promotions, lots of kits, including the Total Rest product that we just released and the Sleep Like a Baby kit, all of those on the website at healthmasters.com. So if you need anything, please email us or call us, 1-800-726-1834. Guys, I really appreciate all the support. Thank you for all the order comments you've been giving us. When I print the orders off every day, I see all these order comments, and some of them are just amazing. I try to respond back to all of them the best that I can. So I thank you for the positive support, guys. We love you. We appreciate you. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.